Chapter 1. Pip. My name is Philip Pirrup. When I was little, whichever name I tried, all I could say was Pip, so everyone called me Pip. My parents died when I was a baby, and I was brought up by my sister, who married Joe Gargery, the blacksmith. What little I knew of my parents came from their tombstones, which lay in the churchyard. My earliest detailed memory of the beginning of these events is of one afternoon toward evening. I was visiting my parents' graves in the churchyard and began crying in the cold bite of the wind as I looked out at the dark, flat marshes and the thin line of the river beyond.
"Be quiet!" cried a terrible voice,
and a man rose from among the tombstones at the side of the church.
"Keep still or I'll cut your throat!"
He was a fearsome man, dressed in gray, with an iron chain on his leg, a man soaked in water and covered in mud. He limped and shivered and glared and growled, but his teeth chattered in his head as he grabbed me by the chin.
"Please don't cut my throat, sir," I begged in terror. "What's your name?"
said the man.
"Pip, sir." "Where do you live?"
he asked. I pointed to my village about a mile away. Then he turned me upside down and emptied my pockets, which held only a piece of bread. The next minute, I was seated on a tombstone, trembling while he ate the bread quickly.
"Where's your mother?"
"There, sir." Surprised, he began to run, then stopped and looked back. I pointed at her tombstone.
"That's my mother." "Oh," he said. "And that's your father beside her?"
"Yes, sir."
"Then who do you live with? Though I'm not sure I'll let you live."
"My sister, wife of Joe Gargery, the blacksmith, sir."
"Blacksmith, eh?"
he said, looking down at his leg. Then he grabbed me and tipped me back as far as he could. I looked up at him helplessly.
"Now, do you know what a file is?"
he asked.
"Yes, sir."
"Get me a file and get me food and bring them back here or you won't live another day. Do you understand?"
"Yes, sir," I said.
"Bring them to that abandoned building over there early tomorrow. Don't tell anyone and maybe I'll let you live. I'll tell you, I've got a partner who's much meaner than me. He wanted to tear out your heart and eat it, but I stopped him."
Trembling, I said I'd do exactly as he said.
"Good night, sir," I said.
He turned to go, shivering and walking with great difficulty, and I turned and ran home, not stopping once. When I got home, I found Joe sitting alone in the kitchen. When he saw me, he said,
"Mrs. Joe's been out looking for you, Pip, and she's got the stick with her."
My sister was much older than me, and liked to say she'd raised me by hand. Nobody explained what exactly that meant, but I thought I understood. She had a hard, heavy hand, and she liked to lay it upon both Joe and me. So I supposed that Joe and I were both brought up by hand. Joe always warned me when my sister was in a bad mood, which was most of the time. When my sister got home, I hid behind Joe while she yelled at me.
"Where have you been, you ungrateful little boy?"
Somehow, I was hit just once that night. At dinner, we heard the sound of guns being fired, and Joe explained to me it meant a convict had escaped from the prison ships on the river. That night, I was too scared to sleep, so I lay awake watching the shadows on the wall jump at me until, at the first light of dawn, I crept down to the kitchen. Fortunately, there was plenty of food because it was Christmas time. I stole some bread, cheese, and a small meat pie, and I put some brandy into a little bottle. On my way out, I stopped in the forge for a file from Joe's toolbox. Then I ran as fast as I could toward my convict. Just before the churchyard, I saw him sitting on a rock, but when I went up to him and touched his shoulder gently, I was surprised to find it was another man. When the man saw me, He tried to hit me, but he had no strength and his fist fell short. I was so frightened that I ran past him and did not stop until I got to the building where my convict was waiting. I gave him the food, and he began to push it into his mouth, swallowing it down whole, just like a stray dog I'd once seen. "What about your friend? He looked hungry."
"Looked?" The man stopped. "When?"
"Just now."
"Where?"
"Over there," I said, pointing.
"So I did hear guns last night," he said.
Then he grabbed the file and began to work at the chain on his leg.
"If I catch him, I'll kill him."
I said I was worried about my sister discovering that I was not at home and that I had to go. The last I saw of him, he was working away at the chain with Joe's file. My sister was so busy that she did not even realize I'd been out. She sent Joe and me to church while she prepared the house for the guests coming for Christmas dinner. She complained that she could not go to church herself. At church, I wondered if everyone could tell I was a thief, but no one said anything, and when we got home, everything was ready. My sister still hadn't noticed the robbery. I opened the door for the guests as they arrived. First, Uncle Pumblechook, who was really Joe's uncle, but whom my sister was much closer to. He was a large, slow man with a mouth like a fish and dull, staring eyes.
"I've brought you 2 bottles of wine for the season, Mrs. Joe," he said, as he did every year.
"Oh, Uncle Pumblechook, this is kind," said my sister, as she did every year.
Then Mr. Wopsle, the church clerk, arrived.
"Hello,"
he cried in his usual loud voice. He was followed soon after by Mr. and Mrs. Hubble, the town grocers, who both disliked young people. At the table, Mrs. Hubble shook her head, saying,
"Why is it that the young aren't grateful?"
"Naturally vicious," Mr. Hubble responded,
and my sister and Pumblechook nodded in agreement.
"This one is completely ungrateful," my sister said,
and everyone looked at me until my cheeks turned red. Dear Joe tried to comfort me by giving me extra potatoes, but my sister began listing all the things I'd done wrong, including being born, of course, and everyone turned and shook their heads at me. Then my sister stood up and said,
"Now, to finish, there's a wonderful meat pie."
I realized my crime would finally be discovered, and I twisted in anticipation. Then, unable to help myself when I heard a cry from my sister in the kitchen that the pie was gone, I jumped up and ran for my life. I had got no farther than the front door when I ran into a party of soldiers with their guns, one of whom held out a pair of handcuffs.
"Hello, is this the blacksmith's house?"
The soldiers were being sent to the marshes to look for the escaped convicts, and they needed the handcuffs fixed. It did not take Joe long to fix them, and when he was done, he asked the soldiers if we could accompany them. The soldiers did not mind, so Joe, Wopsle, and I set out with him, me riding on Joe's back and Wopsle struggling to keep up. At the churchyard, the soldiers paused to look around in the fog and rain of the afternoon. Then we heard the distant sound of 2 men shouting, and the soldiers began to run towards the shouts. When we found the 2 convicts, they were fighting in a ditch.
"Surrender!"
The soldiers ran in and dragged them apart.
"I stopped him from running away," said my convict. "I'm giving him up to you."
"He tried to murder me," said the other convict.
"Ha! Tried and not do it? I could have gotten away, but I couldn't let him go free. He acts like a gentleman, but he's a truly evil man."
As the soldiers handcuffed him, my convict saw me and I shook my head slightly, assuring him of my innocence. Then he looked at me in a way that I could not understand.
"I want to say something," he said.
"You can say what you like, but it won't do you any good," said one soldier.
"This is important. A man can't starve. At least I can't. I took some food up at the village."
"You mean stole," said the soldier.
and I took it from the blacksmith's. Some bread, cheese, brandy, and a meat pie, too.
Did you notice anything missing, blacksmith? Asked the soldier.
My wife did, just when you soldiers came in.
Then I'm sorry for eating your food, said my convict.
You're welcome to it, said Joe. Whatever you've done, we wouldn't want you to starve to death for it, would we, Pip? I shook my head, looking at my convict, who made a strange sound of emotion in his throat, then turned and was led away by the soldiers into the fog. I was so tired that I slept all the way home, relieved that my secret was safe. If Joe had found out, he would have been so disappointed. Dear, kind Joe, the only friend I had. At home, I crawled into bed and slept like the dead.